every one of us have heard or said ourselves, don't do as I do, do as I say. Now, why do we do that? Don't do as I do as I say. I was made to think of this by a statement that I heard Justice Clarence Thomas make. I read it while I heard it, him interview, and it was recorded on the internet, and I listened to it. And he made this statement about his father, his grandfather. His grandfather told him and his brother, do as I do. Wow. In view of our own weaknesses, we are sinful and we often make mistakes. Dare we to say that to anyone? Just do as I do. Or are we going to constantly revert to the more frequent statement, don't do as I do, do as I say? Let us consider the value of accepting the responsibility of being an example to those who are following. What would it do for us? What would it do for us if we pursued the policy of maybe not saying, but telling people in various ways, you just do what I do. Just follow me. Watch me and do what I do. And what would it do for those who are following? That is the subject of our lesson. Every one of us is aided by having someone who is ahead of us on the road to heaven. And I am suggesting that we need to take up the responsibility of saying to those who are behind us, watch me, do as I do. I want to talk to you this morning in his steps. That's the title of this particular picture. Can you see it well? You see what those little boys are doing? Have you seen that in children, that often they watch their parents or older people and they do what they do? They watch them carefully and they follow right along behind. I want to talk to you this morning about do as I do. Accepting the responsibility of setting an example for others to follow. You say, this is a wonderful lesson for parents. It is. This is a wonderful lesson for preachers and elders and deacons. It is. It's a wonderful lesson for everybody. Because everybody has someone watching. Do as I do. Watch me. I'm going to show you the example so that you'll make it easier for you to follow. Now, this lesson will be a little bit different in my presentation. I've been grappling with this lesson for at least a year and a half, and I decided I wasn't going to put it off any longer. Even I couldn't do it exactly the way I wanted, I was going to give you what I got so far. And so I've accumulated several statements from people all over the world who illustrate this idea of the power of example. And of course, I love this picture, being an example. Where'd that little boy learn to dress that way? He watched his daddy or his granddaddy or his uncle or his older brother, and there he is, walking right in between them. He feels as big as they are. And that's good. If they're good examples. Being an example. Mark Twain begins with a little humor. Few things are harder to put up with than the annoyance of a good example. I mean, who does he think he is? Who does she think she is? Are they a bunch of goody-two-shoes? And sometimes that's why we don't want to be an example. We don't want to be out front. We don't want people watching us. We don't want people thinking, well, why didn't he do or she do just like we do? I saw this when I was in the business world. When you've got a group of employees that are assigned basically the same job and they're doing it, they don't want anybody going just full speed that shows everybody else up, do they? Hey, calm down here. We don't work that hard here. Another, Malcolm Gladwell, wrote Blink and The Power of Thinking Without Thinking. He said this, we learn by example and by direct experience because there are real limits to the adequacy of verbal instruction. All preachers take notice. You're going to be lucky if you get a half of what I say this morning, and I know it. But I'm going to give you the half. At least get the half. But what would it do to my verbal instruction this morning if you knew that John was a total hypocrite? He never tried to live what he preaches. What would he do? Song leaders? Everybody who's up before the public eye, what does it do to our verbal instruction when our lives don't match it? The path of precept is long, that of example short and effectual, said the ancient Seneca. A good example is like a bell that calls many to church, said the Danish proverb. Example is not the main thing in influencing others. It is the only thing. Now, that's probably an overstatement, but it illustrates the point, said Dr. Schweitzer. People are changed, not by coercion or intimidation, but by example. That is the real most powerful force in the world. Example. Why are we so impressed with Jesus? Because when we read of his life, we see his example. He lived it. He is the man to be modeled after, to be an example. Example is more forceful than precept. That's teaching. People look at my 6 days in the week to see what I mean on Sunday. We're all here. We look pretty good. How'd we look the first 6 days? Would one of your co-workers find it strange to find you sitting here? Would one of your neighbors or one of your friends that you run around with, would they find it strange? Would they feel strange to come here and be with you? That's what we're talking about. I'm preparing a lesson. I'm always preparing some lesson. It's Sunday. Monday's coming. It's wonderful Sunday. We're here Sunday, but Monday's coming. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. They're coming. What's it going to be like? Further, when you see a good man, try to emulate his example. And when you see a bad man, search yourself for his faults. I put that in with Confucius because of our Chinese friends. They're not here this morning. I wish they were. But here's one. This is wise. Yes, even bad people can teach us things, can be an example as to what not to do. And the scripture says both. Have you noticed that? We get both examples in Scripture, what to do and what not to do. Good advice is something a man gives when he's too old to set a bad example. Now, this one's going to slip up on you. You said, what on earth did that preacher going to, why did he put that in there? I cannot say this Frenchman's name. All of you that know French, you can pronounce it. But there's wisdom in what he says. For those of us who are older, if we feel ourselves in the position of giving advice and suggestions to the younger people, if we can show them a life that was lived by those same suggestions and precepts that we are preaching to the young, how much more powerful will our advice be? Now, sometimes the best we can do is to say to the young, don't do as I did. That was wrong. That was sinful. It leads to death. But wouldn't it be wonderful to live a life that at the end you could say to your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, those who are younger than you, live as I lived. Do as I did. Then the innocence of the intention abates nothing of the mischief of the example. Well, I meant well. I really intended to do that. Well, great. Did you do it? How much more powerful it will be not only to intend it, to plan it, to purpose it, but to do it and offer it to others as an example to follow. Well, you can see that even the world, these various men and women across the world, I don't know that any of them were Christians, don't know them well enough to say, don't know that any of them believed in God or even believed the Bible, but they had deduced that it is important to follow good examples and to be a good example to others. So I want to now turn to the Scriptures and see what they offer in this concept of do as I do. This is Jesus. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you, he tells them. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Now, what had he just done? He had just washed their feet. Clement, he just washed their feet. You know that picture of Jesus on his knees, and I don't know exactly how that foot washing went, but I want to paint the picture for you. Clement read from Luke 22 where they were told to go out and find a man and he would deliver them and show them where they could partake of the Passover meal in an upper room. In every prepared room, just like when you go into a motel or hotel today, often there's a Gideon Bible, except some people are objecting, trying to kick all those out. But at least there's a Gideon Bible. You know they're going to have some towels there. You're going to have a bed. You know, there are going to be things that it's by, we just know that will be there. In those days when you rented a room, there was a basin of water and a towel. And normally the slave in the household, the person at the lowest rank in the household, did the foot washing. Their feet were tired. It refreshed them and not only maybe made them smell a little bit better. I don't know. But it was a refreshing thing to do. It was a courteous thing to do. Now, I want you to imagine the band of disciples, apostles. What are they arguing about or discussing as they're going to the upper room? Which one is greatest in the kingdom? They're arguing about that. And they walk into that room. There's the basin of water, and there's the towel. And the only person that everybody else would have agreed should not do it, did it. What did they do when they saw the basin of water? When they've been arguing about who's the greatest in the kingdom. We're not told, but can't we imagine carefully and accurately? Well, not me. I'm not going to do that. That doesn't fit my claim to be the greatest in the kingdom. I'm not a servant of all. Not me. And again, the only one, Jesus, that all the others would have agreed should not do it, he did it. And you can well imagine, this is why Peter refused to let Jesus wash his feet. Oh no, Lord, it's not appropriate for you to wash my feet. What did Jesus tell him? If I don't wash your feet, you don't have any part of me. If you don't let me show you this example of humility and follow this example, you have no part of me. And Peter typically, well then Lord, just wash all of me. Just give me a bath. No, Peter, you're not that dirty. You don't need a bath. You need to learn the example and then model it to others of servanthood. So I've highlighted those words in that text. I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. Follow his example. Then, on another occasion, this is in the great Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, when he tells them, you and you alone are the light of the world. Wow. Now, put yourself in that audience. He's telling you and all of us, he's telling us that we are the light of the world. What happens if we don't shine? The world's going to be in greater darkness than it would otherwise be. We got to let people see us. We've got to be an example. We got to be out front. We got to let people know about the one who is the real source of light. And so he says to them, let your light shine before men in such a way that you may see, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. We are his advertisement. We are the ones with the little light along the shore that's showing people how to get to the big lighthouse, directing them. Now, let's just apply it. In your office, or your school, or your job, wherever you are, every day, Monday through Friday, or Monday through Saturday, are you the light? Am I the light? When I travel, as I do, and I'll be leaving again a Saturday to go to Duluth, Minnesota. I've never been there before. I'm so excited about going. I know of only two people there, to my knowledge. It's a very small group, and I'm looking forward to it. I've seen their advertisement about the meeting, and I thought, wow, they did a lot better on that advertisement than I did on the lessons. I mean, I said, I'd like to hear those myself. But when I travel, am I the light? Am I the light in the terminal as we wait, as we go through? Am I the light? Are you? We are the light. For what purpose? That people can see God the Father, to see the Son, direct them to Him. I want you, you know, I had a... You get breakthroughs as you live this life of a Christian various times. Things you see differently. I remember about 9 months ago. And if this sounds familiar, then I had this conversation with you. I said, I am so privileged to be able to offer you, by showing you Jesus, a better life. Think about that. You know Jesus. And if we reflect Him, you could confidently say to people who've had a terrible life, who've been looking for Him all their lives and have not found Him yet, I can point you in the right direction. Now, how many things in life can you confidently say, I know how to help you? When people come and they want money and ask for money, I don't always know whether or not this is a help or a hindrance. I don't always know. When we give them the advice of what to do at work and, you know, this is how you get along in this job and et cetera, et cetera. And we don't always know whether or not it really will be helpful. But when we direct them to Jesus, they're going to be helped. And we have that privilege. Then let's go to Paul. We're only going to look at two texts. Well, maybe one more, but two. Here's Paul. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. Paul didn't back away from it. He didn't back away from saying, do as I do. Now I want to give you a little bit of the context. Found in Philippians chapter 3. Remember the great statement that he makes in the 14th verse of that same chapter. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, full, complete, mature, have this attitude. And if anything, you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. Folks, those of us who are more mature in the faith, we have a responsibility to every babe in Christ that comes into our assembly or in this church or in our lives to show them the way. Not just tell them the way. Of course we want to do that, but show them the way. However, he says, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I often told you and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. If I set my mind on earthly things, if my appetite becomes my God, the end is destruction, and all who follow me will be destroyed too. Then this last one. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, be imitators of me just as I also am of Christ. Now look at the context. In the previous chapter, chapter 10, verse 31, he writes, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all in the glory of God. He had been dealing with the problems they had that some believed it was right to eat this meat that was offered to idols. It was just meat. And to have this drink or whatever it was. They were arguing about that. And some were criticizing them and they were criticizing them. So whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's the remedy to the glory of God. Then he says in verse 32, give no offense either to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God. wherein is within my ability to so act in such a way as to not offend anyone, I am to do that. You say, well, what if you speak the truth and it offends them? Well, then it offends them. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of the many, that they may be saved. What an attitude. What an attitude of self-sacrifice, of doing anything and all things to the glory of God and to show other people the Lord. Then he says, be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you because you remember me in everything and hold firmly to the traditions, just as I delivered them to you. So there we have it. We're done. I told you it'd be different. Do as I do. As I do. As Christ does. Each and every one of us, mature or just starting out in the Christian life, we want to be a light to those behind us. And I want to close with this poem. I'd rather see a sermon. It's a famous one. But I don't know that I've ever read the whole poem. I just remembered the title. By Edgar A. Guest. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one should walk with me than merely tell the way. The eye's a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but examples always clear. And the best of all preachers are the men who live their creeds. For to see good put in action is what everybody needs. I soon can learn to do it if you'll let me see it done. I can watch your hands in action, but your tongue too fast may run. And the lecture you deliver may be very wise and true, but I'd rather get my lessons by observing what you do. For I might misunderstand you and the high advice you give, but there's no misunderstanding how you act and how you live. Thanks for listening. Welcome, voice.